Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News. Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Welcome. It's good to have you alongside again on this, well, dreary, rainy day in the St. Louis metro area. But we've been, you know, Pastor Shank, it's nice not to have to drag the hose out today. The lawns were starting to look a little bit crispy there, and, well, thank goodness for that. And we have to remember that there are a lot of parts of the country that are listening that probably haven't had much rain at all. I think at one time half of Colorado was on fire a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's not our part.
Not our part. Now, I would just advise you, just a little radio technique here to help you along as you join us for the Bible study. Don't touch the microphone when the program starts.
Do you want me to do this? Does this help everybody? Wake up.
You radio amateurs. You.
Good morning.
Pastor John Shank, good friend of the program, regular on the Bible study, serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. Everything here is new. I've noticed all the guys that come in, the pastors, sit down, and it's like kids. You just can't
gotta
keep
touch
your hands
stuff.
Off stuff.
You got to touch stuff and then look over our shoulder at Walter watching us.
Everyone notices that. The great Vista-wide wall. What was it? VistaVision, I guess, was the big thing in the 1960s. That's about as big as...
Well,
thank you for being rude and pointing out that I am much more seasoned than you are. But I think this window is about the size of most movie theater screens these days.
Yeah, this is beautiful. And everything's so new and sparkly.
Just stop touching it.
I can't help it.
Focus on your task, which is the Bible
study.
I'm
so distracted.
Your assignment, should you choose to accept it, and it's questionable if you will at this point, 1 John chapter 4, we're going to go verses 1 to 6. Do you like, I don't know about you, I hate tests. You know, when I was a building official, I had to take certification tests and continuing education credit tests and all these sort of tests.
Mm.
I hate tests.
Yes.
So this is what we've got today is a test, yes?
Yes, it is. We are testing and we are being tested, and yes, tests all abound.
Can we ever be done? You know, you get this tests all abound. Just because you're on radio doesn't mean you have to use big words. Unless you're speaking Greek, and then you certainly may.
It's a bound. It's so huge.
Oh, this is we're already losing control here.
Okay. Well, let's refocus.
You know, the glide path has been lost. And losing airspeed rapidly.
I've been struggling since last Saturday. We had our service, and I was about halfway through my introduction, my sermon, and crash! Big lightning strike, and our power went out for about, I don't know, 15 seconds or so. But after that, I mean, it was gone. I had no one. No one could pay attention. I even told them, I'm like, okay, let's try and refocus. Let's get it back here.
No. Well, this has been a challenging week because there was the National Youth Gathering. We've had pastors that have been down there, come back home. Now they're doing the Bible study. Did you go to the gathering?
I did not. Right. We sent our children, but our DCE and some of our other youth and our principal went down to chaperone the girls, so I got to hear all about it and
positive reports.
Yeah, and I got to watch it on the internet streaming. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah,
that was pretty neat.
Yeah, that's the world is a small place now. Not smaller, small.
Yes, yes.
We're connected immediately, and for those of you at the NSA who are listening in, we welcome you this morning to the Bible study. Speaking of small world. You know what? You never know who's listening. We pick up listeners all the time, and they could use a dose of some good theology as well, don't you think?
They need Jesus,
all
too.
Right. So tell me, what do you think about St. John? Is this an epistle that you've used much in your ministry?
I've used it, of course, when it comes to the theology. I haven't preached. You know, I've been a pastor for 3 years and been at my church for 4. I did my vicarage year there as well. So I usually preach on the gospel lesson, but in teaching and catechesis and all the rest, we definitely talk about, and it's part of our worship life too, right? You know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in it. So our theology in which we teach and catechize our students and our adults, I work out do a lot of campus ministry as well at Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville, and a lot of what I've had to teach there also comes from John's letters and John's Gospels. And so John's letters come right after his Gospels. You know, you should read them together because the theology goes together. So, yes. Yes and no. Yes, I've used it. No, I haven't preached on it as much because I preach on the Gospels.
You know, I have to, before we pray and start the lesson, I have to confess that as I was preparing this, you know, I wasn't sure how to approach today's lesson. I really wasn't because, you know, we're just going to have to examine, you know, may I say, the incredible ability of people to plumb the depths of stupidity.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the marketplace of theological ideas, there is some really dumb stuff out there that a lot of people are buying into.
Yeah.
And this is part of the reason that John is telling us to test, isn't it?
Yes.
I want to be gentle about that, but you just have to look at some of this stuff. You know, save me your faith. Send me your check for $100.
Yes.
And a thousandfold shall be returned unto you.
And then isn't it just heartbreaking as well?
It is.
That, you know, those who, I don't know, rightfully or wrong, it's obviously wrong, but have a motivation of desiring to come into the message or hear the message of the one true God, and they stumble upon these false teachers who have deceived them. And for those people, the sheep that get led astray, I think our hearts just break. The ones that are leading, that gets us pretty angry really quickly.
But there are a lot of religious, theological P.T. Barnums out there these days.
Sure.
Yeah. And you know what he was famous for saying? Sucker born every minute.
Yeah.
Sadly true. Sadly true. But let's begin with prayer, and then we'll get right about this.
Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gracious Father, there are so many false teachers and false words out there to deceive us, to mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Be with us. To abide with us with your Holy Spirit, for your Spirit is wisdom in truth. Teach us and lead us into all truth, the very word who has come into the flesh to save us. Guide us into Christ. Lead us to the cross where we will see him enfleshed, suffer, die, and rise again for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, you know, from over there in Edwardsville, you dial 1-800-730-2727. That's how you get into the program. But if you're in the St. Louis metro area, the phone number has changed. Now, without looking, have you been paying attention?
I don't know.
That was a test.
That is a test.
See? Oh, boy. We're going to emphasize. Yesterday, the word of emphasis was assurance. Today, the word is test.
Okay.
The new local number, 821-0850. Try that. If it doesn't work, then revert back to the 800 number. And if that doesn't work, try the email. It works great, kfuo@kfuo.org.
Smoke messages outside?
Not in the rain.
Okay.
Kind of hard to get the fire going out there today.
All right.
Taking advantage. We do have a beautiful view of it.
We do.
Though I think the groundskeepers here might be a little bit cross if somebody set up a little campfire outside.
Okay.
All right. Now, you see, I didn't, like I said, I didn't mean to sound harsh about that, but I've been paying attention to this stuff for years and years and years now. And it's almost as if it's become the only productive part of the American economy anymore. These guys who go on TV and sell this, I think General Norman Schwarzkopf referred to it as bovine scatology.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's nice.
That was his term.
Okay.
You know, I think that's
a nice
marginal,
way of saying,
but I think you got to call it what, I mean, I won't revert to the Greek, but Paul refers to it in those same terms.
Yeah. So, yeah, and because this is the message of the world, it's a very popular, if one is looking to fill stadiums, that's the message you'll need.
Yeah.
Right? The message of the world, fills stadiums every week. And that's sad because in the eyes of the world, the great number of those that follow a message shows its truth. When we look to the truth of one who calls us all into him. And so, that's what's really frustrating, isn't it? To see those on TV and to see their great numbers that they're leading astray, or or maybe they're not on TV, maybe they're just down the road.
When you find family members following people like that.
Yeah. Quoting them.
Quoting them, putting stuff up on Facebook about Joyce Meyer this and Joel Osteen that.
Sure.
You know, it's tough.
It is tough. It is tough because then, you know, and those that maybe are listening right now are saying, whoa, you just called out my favorite person, right?
Cards and letters to KFUO at KFUO.org.
Sure. And we can handle that because what is the message that is coming from their lips? Is it solely a message of Jesus Christ and him come into the flesh? Or is it a message about the flesh of your wallets? And if you have faith in something, it's all about getting the success, the life, the happiness that you need now.
Hmm.
And is that really, you know, that's what we need to challenge people. That's what we need to call them to test. Is that really the message of the gospel?
Well, John refers to them as deceitful spirits.
Yeah,
that's not very nice, is it?
Yeah, the Antichrist stuff comes up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the spirit of truth, is it?
No.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Yeah, but you know, there was this guy 2,000 years ago who said, "What's truth?"
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? What's true for you ain't true for me.
Yeah, I had that the other month when the storms came through, we had an adjuster come through, which is such a fun experience.
Going through it myself,
and and then we had and he had his opinion, and then we had somebody come through to give us a bid on what they thought, and I went out there to talk along with our property manager. And I asked this gentleman, and he goes, "Well, I'll go up, take a look, and I'll let you know." And I go, "Let me know the truth." And he goes,
"It's contracting. I know from years of experience."
He goes,
"Pilate was right. What is truth?"
He looked at me, and he basically said what Pilate said. He got a big old smile on his face, and he goes, "I don't know about that, but I'll give you my opinion." And for some of these people, there is no such thing as truth. Right? And that's so sad. The truth to them is what they feel about things, is what their sense reality
of
things.
We spent a lot of time on that yesterday about how the world today is based, everything is based on feelings. You talk about working with an adjuster. Well, I used the example yesterday when the tornadoes came through on the 31st. You know, we're sitting there, we're watching, I think it was a Saturday morning, and watching the news and these Dunkoff reporters who stand in somebody's front yard in their demolished house. How do you feel about how do you feel about your house being destroyed? I don't need to know such things. I think it's self-evident.
Yeah.
How you feel about
such things.
I feel
great. Thank you.
Thank you. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Right. No. But you're right, Pastor. It's all about feelings today.
Yeah, we have. I was talking in my sermon this last week, and people seek after this moralistic, therapeutic deism.
Ah, there you go.
And the moralistic part of it is just doing what they think is right in their own eyes, and they think that if they follow this own self-moral code, that's salvation.
Mm.
And their salvation is that therapeutic part, which is just to feel good about the decisions you make in life. And that's really the important thing.
Now, the cynic in me wants to jump to the conclusion that if they're that dumb, then that's their problem. Why should I care about that?
Yeah, because such were we.
Yeah.
That's why should
really,
we care.
Really? I was that?
You were that?
Oh, surely not, Pastor.
You were that dead in your sins. You were. And so was I. And so was everyone.
So this is, you're proposing here is that we adopt an attitude similar to Christ weeping over Jerusalem?
Yeah. Yeah, like humility and
really?
Stuff. Like understanding
really?
our
really?
Place yeah. in this whole...
John does say something about that, I think.
Yeah, understanding our place in this whole salvation history. Were we the Savior? Did we discover this Jesus? You know, this Mount Jesus, we have conquered him.
Discovering America. It was always there.
Yeah. And the same thing with Christ. He is the one who created us. He is the one who redeemed us. He is the one who came and after us. He calls us by through his spirit and enlightens us with his gifts.
Now, I am a baby boomer, so I must have someone to blame. That is my generation. We must point a finger at someone and say, not their fault. So we've got the TV preachers we've talked about. What about Hollywood? You know, the film industry probably does more to inform people's theology than you do as a pastor.
Yeah.
I mean, where do we get the bad ideas about the Antichrist, for example? You know,
sure.
Rod Zwanitzer, Pastor Zwanitzer, had done a couple of programs the past couple of days about demon possession mm-hmm. and the reality of that. And here in the West, we kind of go, oh,
yeah,
Hollywood.
Diagnose you know? That, and we do other things, and we ignore the spiritual reality of right?
Yeah.
Which is sad. And that's why in our church, the baptismal rite, I have chosen to go with Luther's rite, which right at the beginning...
You conduct a minor exorcism?
Yeah. It says...
People are shocked now.
Yeah. I've had, I talk about it with the parents beforehand, but when it's the reality of, I'm saying this over your child to make room for the whole, you know, this evil spirit, casting out this evil spirit
sweep
within
the house
this
clean. There you go.
And make room for the Holy Spirit. They kind of sometimes give me a look like, you're saying that about my, oh yeah, okay, yeah, oh yeah, 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 this is what we're doing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And so we do. We do need a wake-up call that this is a reality. There isn't a neutral ground for us to stand on. We are in the household of Satan, or we're in the body of Christ.
Christ, yeah. You know, science is not your friend either. See, because science is about objective truth, and religion, that's about subjective stuff.
I would disagree with you.
Oh, well, you're not disagreeing with me. I am simply agent provocateur.
No, you're the one that said it, so I'm disagreeing with you.
All right,
that's
my fault.
Your fault.
Treat me like home, I'll never leave.
Yes. We have too much fun.
But what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that is that
joy in God's word?
Is that's not true science.
Yeah, that's right.
True science and the one who created science go together. You know, true science and the one who created the heavens and the earth aren't opposed to each other.
Well, up until the Enlightenment, that was true.
It's that faulty science in which our own kind of made-up theories, and which can't be proven, become true science, and a truth which is never proven to be true. That's not science.
And then look at academics. You know, we talk about spiritual but not religious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they push at college. You know, little Johnny, little Jane goes off to their freshman year. They come home, you don't recognize them anymore, because you have academics like Elaine Pagels, among others, who advocate a new understanding of what the Bible actually says.
Yeah.
They're no friends of yours either.
Yeah, and they truly are then spiritual and not religious.
Yeah.
But what spirit do they have? That's the problem.
Well, the spirit of Antichrist. That's not nice.
That's not nice because it's so judgmental.
It is.
But it's not our judgment. It's Christ.
Okay. Well, then speaking of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's not leave out those who are inside the church. I mean, everyone that's, you know, we're talking about TV preachers, but really, you've got everyone from the Reverend Ike to Osteen to Schuller to Brian McLaren to this group called Sojourners, who are very active in sort of left-of-center politics these days. And then you've got the emergent church movement. The church itself seems to be its own worst enemy. Now, I'm painting with a very broad brush there. I know there are exceptions to that, but I throw that out to you for your comment.
Yeah, and it's somewhat church in the wide sense that you're saying, right?
Mm, yeah.
Church, visible church,
yeah.
Because the body of Christ is never in error, right?
Because the true church is never in error.
Right.
Yes, sir. Absolutely true.
The body of Christ in the one who has been redeemed by Christ the crucified lives in him. And through him and in his spirit. And that's what John is also talking about here. What spirit do we have, right? So then the church who claims to be church, or these people who claim to be church and yet are speaking another, word, are not church. And that's the law that needs to be preached so that they can come to repentance and faith in the one true God who gives us his spirit. And we should use that word.
Well, Pastor Shank, if I ask you to step into the character of St. John for a moment, and here he is, and he's going to look out across, let's just say, the United States, because that's our, you know, place in the world, and he sees these big churches that talk about being seeker-sensitive. So we're not going to worry about all this law stuff, because that's harsh. And we're not really going to worry that much about the God. We're going to make you feel good about being a Christian. Now, that looks very inviting. It is. Look how many people show up on any given Sunday. What would St. John say about something like that?
Yeah, well, he's pretty clear in our text, you know, verse 3, this is the spirit of Antichrist.
Ooh.
Isn't that mean?
Ooh.
That's mean.
Ooh.
But when we expose things to the light, right?
Yes.
That's our calling as well, to be salt and light as the church. So as we expose it to the light, that's the only way for which we can truly then evangelize.
Why do we expose it to the light? As I said a moment ago, you know, the cynic in me tends to say that's their business.
Hmm.
Why do the rest of us who've got it right worry about that stuff?
Because someone had to expose the light to us and expose us to the light. And for some of us, we were amazingly blessed by the mercy and grace of God to be exposed in the very infancy, right? As we brought to the font then, and to be drowned with Christ then. And then we are called to live in this light and to let that light shine. Let that word of God go out. And so, we can't think that this word is ours alone and hold it and keep it just to ourselves. That would be to break what the church is. The church always confesses, always speaks forth the words that are spoken to us.
So in simple form, it is not a God-pleasing thing to turn either the church or the gospel into a consumer product.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, isn't that sad?
So what appears to be God-pleasing in reality when you expose it to the light really isn't.
No,
and the
it's
hard
not.
Part is convincing people of that. Have
sure.
you noticed that? That's
sure.
the hard part.
Sure. I think it's a hard part when we think that this is our job to convince. When it's our job to...
Well, what else are you going to do all day?
Okay. Well, let me break it down, right? Is it you that actually does the convincing? It's you that do the confessing.
Ah.
It's the Spirit that actually does the convincing, the converting, the changing of hearts and minds and making us in Christ, right?
Hmm.
So if we think that the evangelism, the outreach, and the conversion is ours to do, then no one's going to actually do it because that is such an overwhelming impossibility for us. But the reality is, sow the seed and leave it to Christ.
Well, speaking of confessing, I must confess I have received word from the big office down the hall. Listen to this. 34 states listening to you right now, Pastor Shank. Among them, Columbia, Missouri, just a stone's throw away, Nashville, Tennessee, Manhattan, Kansas, all online. But listen to this. Global, worldwide, KFUO, 13 countries listening right now, Honduras.
All right.
Colombia and Mexico among those.
I've been to Honduras. Yeah.
So how do you say good morning? Is it just the regular Spanish greeting?
Yes.
Or is there a special Spanish greeting or special type greeting?
I let my translator handle that.
it's like me handling the Greek. Let the pastor do all the work.
I just said hola, and then I spoke through my translator because I am, yeah.
All right. If you're listening in any of those 34 states or more coming online every moment, you can dial 1-800-730-2727. As we go through our lesson, 1 John chapter 4, we're going verses 1-6 this morning here in the St. Louis metro area, perhaps even from Edwardsville. Give it a try locally, 821-0850, but from anywhere in the world. And yes, that is true. If you can get access to an email server, KFUO@KFUO.org comes right here into the studio with me and Pastor Shank. We'll get that question on the air right away. We'll be back in just a moment. Stick around. Where else are you going to go?
When the word love is reserved only for family, friends, and romance, and not for the work of justice in the world, both love and justice are misunderstood. Music on the next Sing for Joy reminds us of that. I hope you'll be listening.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Andy Bates. On Faith and Family, we'll be discussing children in worship. Our guest on Wednesday is Dr. Shirley Morgenthaler, author of Right from the Start, A Parent's Guide to the Young Child's Faith Development. We'll be talking about parents and their young children in worship. Join us for Faith and Family Wednesday at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Perhaps you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice, or maybe it's difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning. Either way, you'll benefit from our live worship broadcast each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8:15 and originates from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis Hills, where Reverend Charles Spomer leads worship. The live late service at 10:30 comes from St. John's Lutheran Church in Redbud, Illinois, where Reverend Mark Neville serves as pastor. Join us for the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? We're used to rolling our eyes when someone talks to us about experiencing a divine revelation. That's probably because we expect such revelations to be visions in the night, as they were in Bible times. That hasn't always been the case, even in Bible times. I'm reminded of a verse about God's vision in the night to the prophet Samuel, and how he didn't understand at first that he was receiving a vision. That verse stated, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no frequent visions." Although it didn't come to me in a dream, I do believe that working in the healthcare field has taught me that everyone has something wrong inside of them, and that this condition will eventually cause each one of us to die one day. I know the Bible calls this sin, and I don't disagree. But I believe that our condition has some mortality consequences that aren't necessarily just overridden by eating right and exercise. To me, that is a divine revelation. The Apostle Peter had a revelation of his own as he was sleeping on the roof of a house in Joppa owned by Simon the Tanner. There Peter saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being led down by its four corners upon the earth. There were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." The next day, Peter would realize that this vision was actually about how God's kingdom was meant to include those filthy, immoral Gentiles like you and me. Let's pray. Lord, how amazing your divine revelations are to us. Help us to see in such Bible stories your nudges to us that what we think or how we feel may not at all be the same thing as your kingdom. For we pray in the name of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, who has redeemed the whole world from its sins. Amen.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO. I'm Roland Lettner alongside his Pastor John Shank. You know him. Listen to me. For those of you who speak English in our audience, for those of you who've been listening for a while, you know him from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, just across the river. I didn't ask you if there was anything going on at your church. I know VBS is gone for most congregations.
VBS is gone. Yeah. We're gearing up for next school year. We're just getting ready.
Just grooving in the green season.
Yeah. And I'm getting ready to go on vacation.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for not ditching us before you go. We appreciate you
planted around that. No.
All right. Let's read our text this morning. We are in 1 John chapter 4. We're going verses 1 to 6. Again, if you'd like to join us, 821-0850, St. Louis metro area, 1-800-730-2727 from anywhere in the continental United States. and KFUO at KFUO.org. So if you happen to be in Tennessee or anywhere in Missouri or Kansas or even Colombia, Mexico, Honduras, drop us a line. We'd love to know that you're listening and where you are. Picking up at verse 1, chapter 4 of the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We'll spend some time on verse 4 because I have heard that just abused to no end.
Okay.
You want to talk about a self-motivating prince or whatever it is, Jesus is your co-pilot. That's verse that they use to emphasize that. Picking up at verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that is the text for today. Okay, we'll get to verse 4 in just a moment. But something you have to confront here. And I guarantee any Lutheran congregation, you're going to find people who, in spite of being good and faithful attending Lutherans, may be a little bit shy about talking about things like doctrine and dogma and theology, because, that's the stuff that divides people. That's, it's tough.
Which then becomes their doctrine and dogma.
Oh, really?
Isn't that funny?
We are a church without a confession. Excuse me, that's your confession.
Yeah. Okay. Isn't that funny? You can't escape it.
You can't. Yeah, good point.
That I had this conversation. We were talking a little bit, about families and things. I was at a funeral of one of my, it was either my grandfather or grandmother. I can't remember at this point. It's been years and years. And one of a cousin, distant cousin, we were talking about being at the Sem, and my great grandfather or great uncle, was a pastor in the Methodist church. And so he was talking to me and his son was talking to me. And so they were saying, well, you're into that doctrine and dogma. Cause I was taking, a dogmatics class. And so I said, I'm in dogmatics 3, and they kind of stepped back a foot. And they're like, well, we're not much into that in our church. We just don't really believe in doctrine. I go, huh. Isn't that your doctrine then? And they smiled. They got it. Yeah, they knew. Yeah. Everybody has a doctrine. Everybody has a dogma. What is doctrine? A set of beliefs that you put in your practice. So what is that we don't have any? Well, it's religion. You hear that a lot of people say, so you're into disorganized religion. What does that mean? Sometimes we don't listen. We have given up having an intelligent conversation. And we've given up just definition of words. Why are we afraid of the word doctrine? Why are we afraid of the word dogma?
Because you will, and I'll just throw this out there for your comment, because you will rapidly expose my ignorance. And I don't use that as the pejorative. I mean, I just don't know stuff.
Sure.
And unfortunately, theology, you don't have to know anything to know theology. You can make it up as you go along. That's the world today. Well, that's where you get this, the spiritual, but not, that's why I said Hollywood is probably a greater influence on what the average person believes than the church today.
Yes.
Because they put all those themes out there about all dogs go to heaven. God takes you just as you are. Don't worry about it. He knows you're trying your best. All that kind of nonsense.
And there's always truth within lie. Satan doesn't take it and create a whole different word, but he twists God's word, which makes it a lie, right?
Yes.
So God does take you just as you are. He doesn't make Roland, he doesn't make you, okay, Roland, I'll only take you if you're perfect, if you're sinless.
Yeah.
God doesn't wait for that. No, he makes you sinless. He takes you just as you are, but he doesn't leave you just as you are. He clothes you in Christ.
See, and that's where theology gets hard, because when you start talking to someone about you are a saint and a sinner at the same time, you have driven people to headaches.
It can.
Pounding migraines.
It can.
Of confusion.
So that's also part of what being a Christian is about. It's about then actually loving somebody enough to get from the 2-second soundbite. I mean, it's even past the 30-second soundbite, right?
Yeah.
The one-line zingers of our church, so that we're like, ah, I win, you know, I gotcha. Well, it's actually trying to love someone enough to walk next to them, to grab them and to lead them in a right direction. And I think the other reason why people are so afraid of doctrine and dogma is because of the fighting. People just don't
You know, Jesus, you know, all this love talk of St. John, Jesus wants us to love each other and get along with each other. We're supposed to be one in spirit. We're supposed to be in unity. That's supposed to be exhibited in our love and tolerance for all things abominable in the Old Testament. And I know that's true because I saw it on the internet.
And isn't that just to destroy what real love is?
Absolutely.
That love is tolerance is fully acceptance. It's not just, yeah, sure, I'm not going to go out and kill you because you just believe differently than I do, right? Sure, that's the original understanding of tolerance, that we both can live in this country together, though we have a difference of who we worship and who we understand to be God. That is no longer what tolerance is viewed as, but tolerance is viewed as your truth is just as valid as my truth. No, it can't be.
No.
That destroys what truth then is, that there is one truth. No, there's all these different truth paths. No, then there is no truth, and Satan wins.
Just for clarity, and before we go to the phones, because we have some callers that are lining up for you, Pastor Shank, when St. John refers to don't believe every spirit, what does he mean by spirit? Talking about something, you know, sort of like the ether floating from place to place. What does he mean by that?
Well, it's, you know, the same thing comes to us also in Jeremiah 29:8. Where we talk about, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you, deceive you. So these people who are coming to you to preach, you know, don't be deceived by them, but here and then using scripture to interpret scripture, using 1 John here. So we are to examine that teaching. We are to dissect it. We are to actually look at it and test it against where God has spoken.
So he uses the term spirit because it's the spirit of Antichrist that indwells them, and that's what is exposed by them?
Yeah. There is a spirit of truth and a spirit of lie, right?
Yeah, the spirit of truth, error is what it says here, yeah.
Yeah. This spirit of truth is the one spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom teaches, whom his been sent by the Father and the Son to us, to lead us back to all truth, as Jesus tells the disciples that the Spirit will do, and that all truth is what he's been teaching them. It's not a new truth, but the eternal truth, the truth that has taken on flesh, which is what we're talking about here, that Jesus has come into the flesh. And these other spirits, this other teachers who are led by a false spirit, their own spirit even, that fallen spirit of us, of ours, according to our fallen nature, will deceive us into all these other false teachings. And it's a horrible sadness of sin.
Let's jump to the phones and pick up a call from James this morning. James, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you, Pastor?
Hi, James.
Hey. My question comes out of verse 6 in our text today, hearing the spirit of truth versus hearing the spirit of error. Mm-hmm. And I'd like for you, Pastor, to define for me what a nominal Christian is and what a carnal Christian is. And I think the biggest distinction between those Christians and true followers are, according to John, the discourse, their discourse on love. It seems like their discourse on love is a false profession as to where true followers are known by their demonstration and discourse on love as a true profession of faith. Could you kind of define nominal Christians and carnal Christians and and tell me, you know, how important is this discourse on love and how it distinguishes a false profession from a true profession.
Okay.
All right, James, thank you.
We need to be careful when we're trying to discern the true Christian and non-true Christian, and then where are we looking, right? And it can be easily deceived by looking to their acts. Then right here, what is given to us? What is the discernment, right?
Yeah.
Where do we look for someone who is being led by the true spirit or the false spirit? What's the test?
Well, here, I'll tell you what. This is the easy answer to that question. Be suspicious of everyone. Trust no one.
Well, in that suspicion, in that testing, we go to their words more than their deeds, even. Their very words
really?
That they speak. What's
right.
it say here? many false prophets who have gone out into the world. Every spirit that confesses.
Whoever,
what is that?
Yeah.
Confesses.
Confesses. So whoever
Jesus,
knows God listens. So mm-hmm. that means somebody is speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes to the very words.
So this is why confessions are important.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if I am led to examine myself to see if I am the true Christian and I have to look at my works, well, then I'm going to cast myself into hell because my works deceive me as one or show me as one who is a sinner. If I want to see my justification, I rightly look to Christ, right?
Yeah.
Who is in the flesh, yeah. Which means that He does everything he does in the flesh. He lives that perfect life. He dies that perfect death. He takes on your sins and he goes. And not only does he go to the cross and die, but he rises. He's raised in the flesh, which gives you, Roland, and everyone who is listening, the promise that you too will rise in the flesh and that you will spend eternity with him according to this very confession. Those who hear this word hear the word of Christ.
The good confession.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that that's what he is the one who makes us Christians. He is the one who makes us righteous. Not because of our love for one another. That comes after, right? We love because we are in the beloved, right? We are in the one who is love himself. God is love. If we're in him, we will love. Don't worry about it, right? Don't look to that for your justification. Look to Christ, who loved you even when you were not lovable.
So the three most important questions in life that everyone must confront, whether they like it or not, is what is truth? Who do you say I am? What does this mean for me?
Amen. Amen. Because, yeah,
Because that's what informs your confession, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because that objective reality of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, that what does this mean? That subjective reality is that he has done this objective reality for you, Roland, for you who are listening. This has been done for you. And that's why this doctrine stuff, that's why this teaching stuff, that's why this confessing stuff is so vitally eternally important.
But you know, I know Mormons, I know Jehovah's Witnesses, they all clearly preach a different Christ, but they're just such darn nice people.
Yeah.
You see, and then you start talking like that, and now we're not going to be friends anymore.
Or
and the world creeps back into our conversation, that's why I throw that at you.
Yeah, we're not going to be friends anymore, or you're going to gain your brother.
Ah, there you go.
Right? Or blessed are you. Because that's what true love then does, right? It strives not over them to exalt oneself over those who still need to be brought to repentance and faith by that spirit of truth, because that's us as well. That message of repentance and faith continues in us each and every day, right? But it strives in love to proclaim to them.
Back to the phones. Linda's been waiting patiently. Linda, good morning. Good to have you back on the program.
Hi, Brother Roland. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Linda.
I guess I'm thinking about this world that so many different beliefs, it's almost like a mission field where you have to learn, you have to listen to them in order to give them back something. You know what I'm saying? You go into a
yeah.
foreign field and you have to learn their language and you have to listen to what they believe. And then you, then the Holy Spirit will help you take something they say. And it's not going to sound like an intelligent conversation. You mentioned that before. Because the thing that we must, the place that we take them to is not a logical place where Jesus Christ died for their sin. But the Holy Spirit will give us a moment where they will say something, and you can take that as a springboard and talk to them about sin, about the blood of Jesus Christ, about our his victory over death. And, you know, you're going to sound like a fanatic. I said Sunday in Sunday school, I said, I am a fanatic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they can't hear unless you take them to that place where, you know, not just because of, you know, what happens to them at the cross, but what happens to God, that they are brought into a relationship, a healed relationship with God, and maybe they won't talk to you for a while, but you've planted a seed. And if that seed doesn't come up, you plant another seed, you know. And I keep doing that with someone I know. And he let me pray with him the other day. He's really sick and dying. And his beliefs are all, you know, very messed up. But it's not my job to save him. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And I can only teach what Jesus has done to forgive our sins and to help us, you know, to have a relationship with God. And that seed will grow, you know.
Absolutely, Linda. You know, that's our faith, that's our trust, that it isn't. I mean, Linda wasn't crucified for the world. John Shank
no.
wasn't crucified for the world. Roland,
I can't create faith.
No.
I can't create faith, and I can't, you know, some people, I say first things first. You don't tell somebody they have to confess Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does that when you tell them about, you know, when you take them to that place of the cross and the resurrection. All that happens by the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're obedient to this person, not to the things that we think we should do, not to love, not to anything that produces, that is produced by that faith. Our obedience is to a person, Jesus Christ, and come unto me, and he makes us whole, and we can hear, and we can see, and we can believe. So
yeah. And I think Linda's other point that she made at the beginning of the phone call here was really important to hear, is that we stop and we listen. You know, this world is hurting. This world is dying. This world is suffering and burdened. And so just stop and listen to somebody. Usually when we have conversations with people, we're just looking for, okay, what am I going to say? And we're planning our next phrase before they're even done talking. Just listen. Just listen.
Yeah, listen, and the Lord will give you the words then later when you've got some way to translate it to them in their own words what the truth is.
And you know,
God bless you.
Thanks, Linda. Good
Thank
call.
You, Linda. And you know, don't be so afraid of our lack of understanding, because none of us has all wisdom, right? We know in part, and none of us has everything, you know. We're a body of Christ with many parts, and we need to lean on each other. So if you get in conversation with somebody and you're listening, and there's a particular hurt, there's a particular question, and you don't know the answer, it's a good thing to say, you know what? I'm learning too right now, and I'm glad God is using our conversation to grow me and to lead me to a deeper understanding of His love for me. Can we call my pastor? Can we talk to my elder? Can I come back to you? Let me get you an answer, better than one just made up by me right now. Yeah, I don't want to give you a made up answer. I want to give you the truth. Let me come back and let's pray together for wisdom and guidance with this.
Let's hit verse 4, which is the one that I wanted to come back to. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Mm.
All right. What is John, just very quickly, what is John really saying there? Because, again, I've heard this second half of verse 4. They always seem to forget the first half of it. But, you know, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I can do all things. No, I'm not Walenda. I'm not going to walk across that chasm on a wire. I can't do all things. What does John mean by that? He who is in the world, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
So what's the other spirit? Or who is the other spirit that we've been talking about so far?
We have the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Right. And the spirit of error, the one who is a liar from the beginning.
Satan.
Is Satan himself.
Antichrist. Yeah.
Right. The great deceiver. So he is in the world, right? And Christ had to come into the world in the flesh, under the law, to redeem us, to buy us back. That's that whole atonement language, that other word that's in our doctrine and confession, right? To actually buy us back, and he was the payment, right? So he's buying us back for the one who we have given ourselves up into, right? And that's Satan, who ruled over this world, until Christ had to buy us back from him with his own body, with his own blood. And so how is he greater than him? Well, he is God, God in the flesh, God who is victorious for us. So yes, this world is being led by a lie, by a deceiver, and yet we have a God who is truth incarnate.
So it's not about God being your co-pilot.
No, it's about...
Because if God's the co-pilot, the wrong guy's flying the plane.
Yeah, we don't... No, yeah. I don't want to fly the plane.
Yeah.
My life... is being led and ruled by one who has ascended. You know, when we worship on ascension, it's not worshiping God who has left us, but it's about worshiping a God who rules over us, about a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And he is the one who is Lord, but a Lord who loved us so much to die. Therefore, I don't need to worry about my life, because the one who is ruling over it, loves me this way.
So at the end of the day, as we look back over this lesson from 1 John chapter 4, every Christian ultimately is a theologian, whether they like it or not. The problem is that so many of them are just not very good theologians, so you have to be discerning.
Yeah, are we a theologian of the cross? Are we a theologian of glory, being led astray to seek our own glory and our own praise?
And is that why discernment is a learned skill?
It's a guided skill in which.
But you have to be in the Word too. Yeah. You can't just say, "Oh well, the Spirit will guide." You have to know a little something. Yeah. Though, yeah,
the Spirit.
That's
has,
why you went to seminary, right, Pastor?
The Spirit has attached himself to his Word. He has promised to be here, not in the blowing of the leaves, not in the babblings of the brooks. Right? He is everywhere, but he is specifically present here in a way to teach and guide and give eternal life. So be where he is and where he has promised to be. And that's why at the end it says, who listens to you, listen to us. Go to church, listen to his word, receive his gifts.
Listen to the Bible study.
Listen to
on
the Bible
Worldwide
study.
KFUL. There you go. Gotta go. Put a plug in. Never hurts.
Never hurts.
All right. Pastor John Shank is on his way to do other pastoral duties this afternoon. We thank you for your time. All the best to the good folks at Trinity in Edwardsville.
Thank you, Roland.
And we will see you next time. Up next, Faith and Family. And don't forget, Pastor Mark Hawkins in Moments of Assurance. There's that word again. Coming up at noon. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.